Hey, what's going on, everyone? It is Brian, and welcome to another episode of the podcast. It is the first day of 2019. Can we believe it? That's insane. I was born in 1985, and it's now nearly 2020. It's a year away from 2020, which is just, it blows my mind. I wonder where we're going to be in 2040. It's crazy. So anyway, I wanted to do a quick episode, a quick podcast on what 2018 brought for me and all of the things that I achieved and accomplished, but also some of the other stuff that kind of tripped me up a little bit and things that I've tried to learn from as best as I could and things that I need to improve on in order to have a sweet and deadly 2019. So I'm going to jump straight into the podcast and start cycling through these babies. I guess one of the biggest achievements that I've done this year is I started to run. And by run, I mean run a lot. I was never really a big sports person. I played basketball when I was in school and some kind of other odd sports here and there. I played rugby for a little while. I played soccer for a little while, but nothing really ever stuck at all. Even I remember growing up in Wexford, I would skateboard a lot. It was kind of a scene that I got really involved into because it was a very welcoming one and you got to do lots of skateboarding tricks and stuff. And I loved skateboarding a lot. It was probably the one sport that I really became a big part of my life when I was a kid. But now I think in 2018 was when I really started to fall in love with running. Running has brought a huge amount of benefits to my life. And I've also, I've learned a ton. I've kind of crunched some numbers as well. So in 2018 alone, and it's really, I guess, from March in 2018, I've run over 1,300 kilometers, which is just insane. Like before March, I would say I couldn't run more than 1 or 2 kilometers without being out of breath on the side of a road, dying, literally just dying. And now the furthest I've run, I think, is like 31 or 32 kilometers in one run. And that's crazy. And also all of the accumulation of all the different runs that I've done to get to 1,300 kilometers is bananas. That is the same distance as it is from where I'm living in Dublin, Ireland, as to Geneva in Switzerland. That's insane. I've taken part in a couple of different races as well. My first race was a 10K, which was the Dublin Night Run. That was amazing, where it started around 8 o'clock at night and you would run through Dublin City. They'd shut down some of the roads and it was my first real experience of a run at all. And all you could hear is like this, like all of everyone's feet pounding on the ground. Nobody really talking to each other at all. You can hear people like kind of gasping for breath and stuff, but it's a surreal and strange experience. And then that compounded with the fact that you're running on a road, there's no cars, you don't have to look and check for different cars and things. And then on top of that, there's other people like kind of cheering you on and stuff. Racing is really, really exhilarating, but I definitely got caught up with the fact of just running too fast at the beginning and then at the end, really kind of falling apart for all intents and purposes. But I did the 10K. It felt really good and it was an amazing feeling to kind of complete my first ever race. My second race was then in Mayo with my cousin Seamus, where for charity, they shut down Knock Airport. So they shut down the entire runway of an airport and they let us run up and down it. And it was a 5K for charity. But when was I ever going to get another chance to actually run on an airport landing runway? That is bananas. So that was extremely cool. I think I definitely destroyed my personal best of doing a 5K that time, but it felt really good. And my wife and Lily and Nina, my two daughters, came as well. And so when I was crossing over the line, they were there cheering away. It was amazing. But all this stuff, like, it just brings a huge smile to my face. And the third race was a half marathon. So the Dublin Half Marathon, which happened kind of at the end of this year, really. And that was, I think, 21.2 or 21 something kilometers in total. And that was around Phoenix Park. And lots of my family came to that. My dad, my brothers, my family, my mum, everybody was there. And it was lovely to see everyone. But that race definitely kicked my ass. It was a long distance. I wanted to get it underneath 2 hours, which I did. And it felt really good to do it. Like, it was lots of great people there, great environment, great energy, and a great buzz. So racing has been amazing. I've really enjoyed it, but I've also enjoyed just having a continual running pace. I've now used it as a tool that offers this strange sense of focus and clarity to me. When I'm running, it can be one of two things. It can either be my FU time, where you've had like a really long, hard day in the office or in work. All things are kind of piling up on you and you just want to get out there and like go, you know, kind of get it all out of your system. But the other thing is that once all of the anger and the rage and everything kind of leaves, you get this really, really nice sense of where you start to have these epiphanies and different thoughts about things that you just have never really thought about at all during the day. I get these really good ideas and just different ways to see a problem. And no shadow of a doubt, what will happen is that if I was on a computer and I was working away and I said, I just have to get this done, that thing could take me an hour and a half in order to get it done. If I go for a run and come back, that thing will take me about 10 or 15 minutes instead because of the clarity and focus that that run gives me. So the actual benefits alone are huge. The other thing is my weight. I think at the start of 2018, I wasn't like crazy overweight or anything. I think it was like 90 something kilos, and now I'm down to 80, which is like a 10 kilo saving. I never actually set out to lose any weight at all. But, you know, every single run that I'm doing now is about 1,000 calories per run. And I would do about 50 kilometers a week. So that would be, it's about 5,000 calories a week that I'm burning extra. Is that right? It's something around there. Anyway, but that alone, you know, I need to learn how to eat well, how to, you know, nourish my body and to understand the different nutrients and macronutrients and everything that my body needs in order to sustain this. Like, even, I think I went for a run. Yeah, I went for a run yesterday, and essentially 4 days in a row. And my knee now hurts. Like, I'm getting pains in my knees that I never had before. And I need to learn how to curtail things. Like, it's absolutely a marathon. It's not a sprint. And because of that, I need to kind of set things up and say, even though I want to go for a run, I want to get that high, or I want to get that clarity and focus, I should pause, stop, find something else, let my body recover, and then know that I can enjoy it into the future instead of just kind of pushing everything too hard, too fast. So yeah, running has been absolutely deadly. To anybody who is starting, I would leave you with this advice. Number one, nobody starts running instantaneously. It takes time and it takes build-up and it takes commitment to get you there. But I promise, if you get to the point of you getting to like a 5K or getting to a point where you've consistently ran maybe 2 days per week for a period of a month, once you get over that hurdle, you'll love it. You will absolutely fall in love with it, and it will become something that you'll work into your kind of everyday life or something. I would say, I guess I can't really say that you'll love it. I don't know. Different people will like different things. Some people just really enjoy going to the gym. Some people enjoy running. But give it a shot, because once you get into it, it's a really, really cool habit to get into, I think. And I guess the final point that I would leave on that as well is that I find it really difficult not to go at 150% all of the time. So if I was running, I'm running, like properly running. If I'm working, I'm properly working. There's no in between for me. There's no 70%. It's either zero or like I'm doing this thing. which is not a good, healthy thing to have. And the reason why is because, for instance, I think I was ill or I went on the beer or something. And then a couple of days later, I said, I'm going for a run. And even though my mind, it knows that I'm able to do, you know, 20Ks pretty easily or do a 20K run every once a week or something, my body just was not able for it at the time because it was ill and it just, you know, it didn't have the same amount of energy as what it would normally have expected to have. And so went out there, went for a big massive run, and I pretty much passed out in the middle of the run. Like, that's not a good thing to have happen. I should be able to, or I should deploy good ways of learning that, you know, this is just too much. I need to pause here. I need to stop this run, or I need to whatever, in order to give my body a chance to catch up to what my mind would like to achieve and not push it too hard. Okay, that is it for running. Let's move into another topic. The next topic is reading. Reading, I think I've gotten into more towards the end of the year. I started off really well in this beginning of 2018, and then I completely just, it died. I think I read like maybe 6-7 books at the start of the year, and then between maybe April and September, I didn't really read at all. I would definitely like to improve on that. I think reading is a huge, it's an excellent way to get really good information into your head. I think between like the ways that I normally would learn or get creative or get inspiration would be from the likes of YouTube or Instagram, where I'd watch these small little snippets of, you know, people telling stories, and I would go, wow, that's really cool. That's deadly. That's inspired me, or that's got me fired up. But with books, it's a lot different. It's like this, again, it's like a marathon. It's more, there's little nuggets of wisdom that are slowly easing into your brain over a long period of time. But they're distilled nuggets. Like, I know that there's a lot of books that are being published now compared to the years in the past. But instead of looking at, let's say, the top 10 new bestsellers, look for the books that have been, you know, they've been top of their lists for a huge amount of time. And lots of people have read them and given them great recommendations. Those books, those things, there's a reason why they're number one. And there's a reason why they've been consistently number one for a long period of time. They're the ones that you should read, or they're the ones that contain lots of great nuggets of wisdom inside them. I definitely prefer biographical or autobiographical books over all of the kind of fiction-y stuff. But there is a ton of great books out there. I'd probably create like a list of the different books that I love. The top book that I would say for me in 2018 was one from, it was recommended by a gent called Robbie Scusi, who runs Collect. And Big Bin, he is a amazing entrepreneur, and he recommended me this book called Red Notice. And it's about, it's about this guy who goes over to Russia, and during the fall of the kind of the communist regime, and where they're starting to take different government-owned companies like the oil and gas and shipping companies, and to give the power back to the people to kind of commercialize them. And in order to do so, they need to divvy up all the different shares of the companies and give them to the people, and then let the economy kind of grow from there. But for instance, you know, you could have a shipping company that would have $1 or 2 billion worth of fixed assets or ships on their books, but they valued the company extremely low at, let's say, $25 million. So this guy goes over, understands this opportunity, and then buys up tons and tons and tons of shares. And then the whole story starts to unfold about what it's like to do business in Russia. It's a really good story, and I would definitely recommend it. So jump onto Amazon, search for Red Notice, it will come up straight away, and you'll find it in no time. Next big thing in my family life is that my eldest daughter Lily started school in 2018, and that was a special, special day. It's mad, like it's crazy to think she's four and a half now, and to start school is kind of like this pivotal moment in any child's life and also in the parents' life. And she absolutely took it in her stride. Like, we landed there. She was a little bit kind of teary at the beginning, then understood what was happening, and now just runs into school with open arms. Like, she loves school so much. And I think it's a really big testament to her. She's an extremely resilient child. She's super clever, but she's also, and probably one of the nicest characteristics about her is that she has this huge, warm, loving heart. If she's seen another kid that was, playing on their own or needed a friend or whatever it might be, she would run straight over to her or to him and, you know, just kind of make sure that everyone is okay, even at the sacrifice of herself. If she had a toy and she knew that somebody else would benefit from that toy, she would definitely give that toy up to see somebody else smile. And that's just, I don't know, it makes me an extremely proud father, I guess. Other big things that have happened, let me think, in 2018, I did lots of events and kind of speaking engagements in 2018 because I set that out as one of my big things that I would like to do more of in 2018 or at the start of 2018. So I got to do Product Tank. So Product Tank is an event, a monthly event that happens here in Dublin, where I think they happen all over the world, but there's like a chapter in Dublin where all of the different people who are involved in creating product or product managers all come together. And I was speaking on a panel with two other people, and just kind of giving my background on MiniCorp, building products, taking things from an early stage or an inception all the way to, you know, some of the products that have left MiniCorp now have 70 plus employees and building wonderful, great things. And just to speak about that journey in front of all these other people who are really excited about product or work in that space. So that was really cool. I think panel discussions in general can be really exciting because different people are coming from different angles. Like, I'm definitely more in the, you know, startup, very early beginning stage versus some of the other people that were on the panel would be, you know, in control of 8 or 10 people teams that are working on a product for a substantial period of time. So MiniCorp will work on small early stage ideas that grow into big things, but will also be, there's a high level of frequency, like we'll change between different products multiple times per year. So it means that we get to see lots of wonderful things versus, it's all different, I guess. Other events was I got to speak at the CompuB Business Summit. So CompuB is one of the biggest distributors of Apple products here in Ireland. And they asked me to go down to Cork in Republic of Work, where I got to speak about my entire journey as an entrepreneur. So everything from when I started my first job packing bacon in Dunn stores at 5 a.m. All the way to where I am now in MiniCorp and all of the different idiosyncrasies and kind of characteristics that have set me up for that journey, the things I've learned and the things that I haven't. but that was really good because I think it was the first actual event where I felt calm enough and I felt used to speaking enough that I got to deliver quite a really good talk and one that I kind of felt proud of. And a couple of people came up to me at the end of it and felt that they got a huge amount of inspiration and kind of motivation from the talk. And I guess that's kind of one of the biggest reasons that I do any of these talks is because you want to inspire other people to know that they can go and create. That the only thing that's limiting anybody in this world is what's in between their two ears. And if I can be accessible or if I can, you know, tell my journey well enough that it inspires other people to start theirs or continue theirs or, you know, just get fired up and to start, that's a huge deal. And it's something that I would be very proud of myself for doing. So I really enjoyed it. A huge thank you to the guys at CompuB for asking me. And a huge thank you to the guys in Republic of Work for hosting the event. I think every single time that I'm down in Cork, I always go to Republic of Work. It's a co-working space in Cork, Ireland. But it's a lot more than that. I think that's where all of the really creative entrepreneurs in Cork hang out. And I've managed to get some really great startups to come and to allow or to let MiniCorp help them as a team to grow. So I cannot but sing the praises of Republic of Work. It's an exceptional place. And the final speaking event, I guess, so I did some mentoring as well. I did mentoring at the Huckletree Alpha Pitch Sessions, and that's where I would go. So Ashlyn Mahan asked me to essentially to listen to three or four, maybe five different early stage companies perform their pitch. So to pitch me what their idea is so that I could provide as much constructive criticism as possible. Now, I have to say the majority, if not all, their pitches were excellent. Like their ideas, their passion, their hunger, the actual people and team behind them, what they managed to do on such a bootstrap budget, they're all exceptional. And I think in the Alpha program in general and Huckletree, there's definitely going to be some really strong companies coming out of that pretty soon. So one to watch for sure. But the mentoring thing was not necessarily new to me, but the way that everything was set up was pretty new, where they would pitch and it's, you know, everyone's given a couple of minutes or 10 minutes each, and then I would be asked to give my feedback there on the spot. Now, I'm still in touch with some of the startups from there, which is great because they kind of really stood out to me. But the on-the-spot feedback, I really enjoyed. Like, I think it's the way that my brain works. I don't necessarily let things percolate for too long. If I see something I like or if I know something, I'll get straight to the point rather than procrastinating, or not necessarily procrastinating, but mulling it over too much that you kind of run around in circles too much. So I really enjoyed that. I also got to mentor at the Startup Weekend as well that was on in Google, which is great. The whole thing was set up by the guys over in Techstars. A really good experience where, you know, again, the day before, the night before, they kind of put down every single mentor's name, and then each company or each pitch gets to kind of mark out different blocks of each mentor's time. And I was extremely humbled and kind of taken back by the fact that all of my slots were booked. That just felt deadly. You know, it felt pretty cool. Sorry, I'm burping here from all of the turkey and Christmas food that has been eaten. but yeah, it was a really good experience. And there were some pretty cool startups there. One that stood out was one that was based around coffee grinds, where the recycling of the coffee grinds is something that's often neglected. So you can imagine that you have these coffee grinds or grounds, coffee grinds. They come out of the espresso machine, they get tipped straight into a black bag. The black bag goes into, you know, a regular bin somewhere, and that gets picked up, but it's all based on weight. Versus this team had figured out a way that you could recycle those grinds for fertilizer, and they would be used in order to grow crops, grow different things. And there would actually be no cost to the coffee shop to take them away. They'd even nearly get paid. I think that's a really cool way of innovating on a product or innovating on a whole chain there. But yeah, there was lots of really great companies. Another one called Tip Jar, where something that I've noticed all the time is, you know, when you're walking down the street and there's a charity and they're kind of rattling their bucket, these guys came up with a solution where instead of you checking whether you have coins or not, because I don't know about you guys, but I rarely would have coins on at all. You would take out your card and do the regular kind of tap and pay thing. But to introduce that, not only in a charity perspective, but in, you know, I'm in a coffee shop or I'm in blah, blah, blah. Just a 2018 or 2019, what? 2019 way of doing tipping, essentially. And then finally, I got to speak at Startup Grind. So Startup Grind was a huge event for me where I got interviewed again by Ashlyn Mahan on my entire journey and everything that I've done to date, and just kind of telling my story, as it were. And it was exciting, and it was great to go through it all and to see people come up just to listen to Brian Kenny tell his story. Like, it's extremely humbling. I never thought that I'd be in this position. But it's also, I really hope that people get to step away from that event and go, I'm fired up, like I'm ready to go, or I want to go and accomplish something, because if that guy up there can do it, then why the hell can't I? And a couple of people that came up to me after the event have said that, and I think that it's definitely a reason to continue to do these events. It's a reason to, yeah, I don't know, I feel proud of doing them, and I think I'll do more in 2019. I would love to. Okay, so the next thing was kind of moving into growing MiniCorp. MiniCorp went through lots of wonderful and crazy changes in 2018. We started the process of trying to grow into New York. So I had my first trip over to New York, where I tried to meet with as many different companies as I possibly could, and also to figure out the best way of us growing MiniCorp outside of Dublin. Like, we have lots of different international clients, but to specifically focus on one targeted city and to grow into there in a good strategy is something that I'm focused on right now. New York has a huge branding background, or I would say branding first kind of agency style over there. And I can understand why, given that it's so heavy on advertising in its early years, well, not in its early years, but years past. And now agencies will really focus on creating an exceptional brand, a really stellar visual representation of the company, even though the tech behind that company may not be solid. What their whole precipice is more that, you know, create a beautifully designed product first, let the customers interact with that, even though there's nothing behind it. And then if there's enough intent and enough interaction, start to build behind it to meet that demand. And I've seen multiple different companies do this in the past. And it makes a ton of sense. It's definitely something that we could pivot towards or create a product for in MiniCorp. I mean, we've kind of done both. We're less brand, less design, and more both, where it's how do we create something that is visually beautiful and UI, UX-wise functional to allow new customers and potential customers to be aware of it and to use it, but also create a stable foundation of that software that will allow that company to grow pretty easily into the future. So having both the engineering and the design quite balanced enough that as new customers, new demand is shown towards that product, we don't need to just start everything from scratch or to build from there on up. So it's a learning curve. Lots and lots and lots of blockchain companies coming out of New York. There is a strange feeling towards the VCs, where the VCs will recommend one or two or three different agencies the majority of the time, which means that the agencies then get to create kind of this, their own demand, their own request of what it's like to work with these startups. But there's a ton, absolute ton, for us to get in there and to start to disrupt. So definitely heading over to New York early in 2019, and can't wait to kind of push that one forward. Need to be more strategic in how I do that, setting a correct budget, understanding what my success or failures of that would be. At what point am I going to stop trying to break into New York? At what point am I seeing enough success that I want to continue to break into New York? That type of stuff. Other things for growth in MiniCorp is that we've had a huge growth spurt, and it's primarily because of word of mouth, which is a good thing. We've all spent a ton of time making sure that we don't talk the talk, that we walk the walk, that we make sure that when we build a product that we do it to the best of our ability, that the things that leave our office are things that we feel have been done really well and that we're really proud of. So it's cool to see that long-term play of reputation that started 3 years ago and now means that we're having good growth spurts based on that reputation. More and more people are hearing about us. It's starting to have that spiderweb effect, and we need to continue that. Next thing is that we've definitely slowed down on our social media. We were all over our social media game and we've kind of paused. And I don't know why that is. I think other things just took priority and took precedence. And I need to flip that around and to fix that one, which I'm going to do. Other things are we've moved to a new office. We're now based in WeWork, which has meant huge amounts of things. Hold on there now. Yeah, so we moved to WeWork. My daughter just walked in. Hi. Yeah, we moved to WeWork. Sorry about that. We moved to WeWork, and that has been a hugely great decision. The reason that it's been a hugely great decision is because in our old office, we had like a bricks and mortar private office on Mespo Road in Dublin, and our landlord wasn't the best. Wasn't the best in the sense that he just wasn't present. And so we'd have weeds and we'd have problems in the office and things, and we'd have to buy coffee and loo roll and all of this stuff that I just felt really detracted or distracted us from building exceptional products. Versus in WeWork, all of that is removed from the equation. We get to the office, it's clean, it's beautiful, lovely offices, lovely meeting rooms, lovely facilities, and we can just focus on doing a kick-ass job. And isn't that cool? Like, I think that that's going to be one of my biggest focuses. Focus? It's going to be a big focus of mine. And that's to remove everything that isn't adding to our talent or adding to who we are as a company, or to outsource it. For example, we already do this with payroll. We already do this with our office space. We already do this with multiple different things. How can we, as a service, get more of the things that aren't directly contributing to us becoming better product makers? How do we get that into an as-a-service model? I'm focused on that. It's going to happen. And then finally, in the growth of MiniCorp, is we went through a whole rebranding exercise. And that was really exciting with a company called Workgroup. So Workgroup have done some phenomenal brands and designs and concept work and everything. I'll leave a link for them in the show notes. But I'm so happy with the rebranding. I'm so happy with how everything looks. The only thing that I would say is I need to get all over our website. At the moment, I'm not 100% happy. I've been working on a new concept and I want to get that out there. I want to get that shipped. But overall, the branding itself, I love to pieces. And I'm so happy to think that the company has gone from me thinking about just a name off the top of my head to where we are now with our brand and what that reputation and brand cohesively means together. It's deadly. So I have other things to speak about. Like, I have other ones where we've hosted our own event and I've done a lot of travel, but I think that I'm going to leave them for another podcast, because around about 30 minutes seems to be a good amount of time for me to talk and for you guys to listen, I think. So if you wouldn't mind, I would appreciate any feedback you would possibly be willing to give. You can grab me on Instagram, you can grab me on Twitter, pretty much any social network. Send me a message about just how you found the podcast. Not how you discovered it, but how did you enjoy the content? I'd like to improve it. I'd like to get better at it. And I would like, I'd like to continue with it. I hope you all have a fantastic and wonderful 2019. What did I hear? I'm going to leave you with this quote. I can't remember where I heard it, but enlightenment is not found through a full belly or a soft pillow. So things will get hard, but know that you're pushing yourself forward. Okay, cool. I will catch you guys in the next one. Have a great one.